Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you again, Mr. Sky Nelson and the wonderful gentlemen of the band. It is a new year, 2020, and at the Center for Spiritual Living this year, we have a theme. It is Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision. Now, interestingly enough, 2020 vision is the minimum requirement for certain professions, like a pilot, for example. Yet it is by no means the best vision. It is actually possible for a human eye to see better than 2020. Nevertheless, the term 2020 vision has become synonymous with perfect vision. Well, that's a great reminder for us not to settle for average and to be mindful of what the group mind asserts is normal, especially when it comes to our spiritual life, where we are called to look higher and look beyond and deeper and see more clearly into the nature of things and see more clearly the possibilities for our life so that we don't accept the minimum as normal. This year we are renewing our attitude toward life so that we can go beyond what perhaps we have accepted up until now. Now, if what you have seen in life so far is good, why not imagine something even better? One of my teachers said to me, "Don't let good become the enemy of better." And if what you have seen so far in life has been troubling, then perhaps the practice can be still to look deeper into the nature of life and to reconnect with something we believe is innate. A dormant, maybe, sense of possibility, potential growth, and progress, it's there. And the idea is that you and I, through spiritual practice, can become better at seeing through the confusion of life to that something larger. We call it a greater yet to be. No matter what has gone before, which is why we say in Science of Mind, principle is not bound by precedent. That's what I learned at the Center for Spiritual Living when I started to attend. I learned a new way of life, a new way to approach life. And truly, it was a radical new idea for me. And I admit that in the beginning, I struggled with it. It's difficult to undo years and years and years of thinking one way and then just simply replace it with something new. Take, for example, our topic for today, the love of God. Today we're talking about the love that God has for you and for me. And to do that, I had to forget everything I ever learned about love and everything I ever learned about God. Both of these words, God and love, oh, they're so charged with meaning, you know, from the past, from family beliefs, from culture, from personal experience, from religions, that they were not useful for me when I was trying to understand what does unconditional love mean. The first thing that I was invited to do in Science of Mind class, and I invite you to do the same thing also, The first thing was to get clear on what was I taught about God? And what do I believe now? And what is my preferred name? It's not sacrilegious to explore your relationship with God or to find a relatable name. Jesus of Nazareth, he called God Abba, which is an intimate name. It's similar to Daddy. In the Bhagavad Gita, God is addressed as the Adorable One. Ernest Holmes, our founder, he called God all sorts of things, including, O lover of my soul, O keeper of my spirit. The 48th name for God in Islam is the Affectionate Loving One. You're invited to discover your name of choice. When I started out, I had to begin with something that helped me separate the ideas I grew up with from this new idea I was learning about. So I was drawn to more neutral terms. The divine, the thing itself, the ground of all being, and then when I saw Star Wars, the Force really resonated with me. You know, I was thinking about that, a non-denominational power. Not only throughout creation, but the source of creation, an intelligence, a neutral power that could be used for good or not good or anything else. Then the second thing I was invited to do in Science of Mind classes, and I invite you to do the same thing, was to get clear on what was I taught about God's love. Oh, again, that was tricky. Because, again, I had to put aside everything I knew about human love. Human love is not a helpful model when trying to understand divine love. Human love is, well, it's interesting, to say the least. We tend to have conditions on our love. Have you noticed? I mean, we certainly sometimes feel justified not loving the people we don't love. And sometimes people we once loved, we feel a distance from. In other words, it's changeable. I couldn't really wrap my head around something constant, unchanging, permanent. To understand what absolute love means, I had to go beyond the human model. And it may be challenging to get there, yet it is essential to understanding how the science of mind works. So I had to try a different word for love. I liked absolute. I played with that for a while. And to understand what absolute love means, try, for example, to think of a fish swimming in water. Is it even aware that there is anything else but the water? And let's imagine that one of the fish in the pond becomes philosophical, rebellious, and says, water is a myth. Water is dead. And water continues to surround it and move through it. And in a pond, there is as much water available to this cranky philosopher as there is to the lovable poet and everybody else in between. It's equally evenly distributed. I know it's an incomplete image, but it helped me. Here's another way to understand what absolute love means. Think of how we love infants. They do nothing to deserve our love. Nothing, I tell you. They don't earn it with words of affirmation, meaningful gifts, good listening skills, reciprocation. They don't apologize after they've thrown up over our new sweater. They fall asleep when it's inconvenient for us, and then they wake up when it's convenient for them. They're needy, high maintenance. And yet we love them just the way that they are and just the way that they are not. Indeed, we don't know how they will choose for their lives. We don't know what they will become. We don't know what good choices they will make for their lives. We don't know what bad choices they will make for their lives. And yet we love them. All of this makes me think of my cat, Andrew. Perhaps you remember him. Sadly, he passed away through a mysterious illness. Here he is. When Andrew was alive, he was like that infant, you know. He had no regard for my plans to focus on work when he wanted attention. When he wanted to eat. And after he had eaten, no thank you. He would lose himself in an ecstatic dance with a paper bag and tear it to shreds, even though I had plans to use it for something else. I would watch him and think, he's like that fish in the water. My love is all around him. He doesn't deserve it. He just has it without ever having earned it, without paying the rent, without doing a chore, without saying something nice, without earning his place in my heart. He taught me to drop the idea of earning my life. I also had to drop the idea of earning the favor of a divine parent. I had to drop the idea of reward and punishment as a spiritual system. These are human ideas. The force, however, the mind, however, is just not like that. I had to move away from that reward-punishment model to another model, which I admit was more complicated. The model of cause and effect. Or the model of freedom and consequence. Not just on a personal level, but on a global level, on a community level. I had to wrestle with these ideas that my actions had consequences for me and for you and for the planet and for the world. It's complicated. Because we are connected to each other. We're not just alone here. It's not as simple as it seems. Someone once described to me the way it works by saying, love is freedom. And absolute love is absolute freedom. In other words, when you love someone, don't you want them to be free? Well, yes, as long as they do what I want. See, as long as is a human arrangement. And I understand that arrangements are good. Arrangements are useful for relationship and for a well-functioning society. Still, try to think of a love that wants you to have absolute freedom, even if that means you will make a poor decision. Think of a love that only says yes. And then you are starting to think about what science of mind calls the law of mind. It says yes. I saw a meme online once that, using gender-specific language. It said, God loves you just the way that you are. He just doesn't want you to stay like that. Oh, it's good, but there's something even better than that meme. The absolute is in and through you, period. When I first read that meme so many years ago, I laughed at it because I had already started to understand that the divine, while it wasn't useful to think of it as a parental figure, you know, one that would disapprove of me if I turned out a way that wasn't desired or that I grew in this direction or I chose that. So I had already begun thinking of my relationship with the divine more like that fish in the water being surrounded all around me, in me, through me, persistently, no matter what. And I had already begun thinking about and cherishing the freedom I had. I was starting to dismantle the idea of an overlord watching me, who had a plan for me, and who got mad at me when I wavered or got off the assigned path. I have a 7-year-old in my life right now. And a couple of days ago, I was showing her how to do an arts craft. And I was pointing this out and pointing that out. And she said to me, I don't want to do it like that. And then what she wanted to do with this craft was clearly the wrong way to do it. Because it would have resulted in ruining the whole craft project. And yet, as I watched it, all I felt for her was agreement and acceptance. I thought to myself, I trust her to become who she will become. I trust her to learn what she will learn. I trust that she is a work in progress, like I am, like you are. I trust that accepting her right here where she is to love her in the way that the divine absolute is present. Now, the difference between me and the divine absolute, the power of creation, is that it is an unchanging spiritual power. It doesn't have moods or preferences. It cannot be bargained with. It does not and cannot invade our freedom. That's how perfect its love is. It continues to flow around me and through me, making its creative intelligence available always. I had to learn about that, and I had to learn about that power in me, and I had to learn how to use it more beautifully, how to use it more responsibly, how to use it more ethically for better results, with baby steps at first. And those baby steps were to start reprogramming my mind by repeating to myself new ideas that I'd been learning in class, like this. There is a power for good in the universe, and I can use it. Now, keep in mind, when I say good here, I don't mean human good. I'm not talking about good that is the polar opposite of bad. Good here means the absolute nature of the water surrounding the fish. Mind. I had to learn to use it in a more awake, conscious, way than I had previously. I had to learn to direct it differently. I didn't know that I could use this power to change the direction of my life. That was new. And next week, we're going to talk about the role that devotion plays in using the power of mind. Someone once said to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, he's a well-known science of mind teacher, this is what they said: as I listen to you lecture, I do not have a sense of the presence of God, because you're always telling us about the mechanics of the law of mind. Dr. Barker thought about it, and he realized that it was possible that by focusing always on practical spirituality, he may have forgotten about the very thing that makes it all work: the warmth of being surrounded by the absolute, a presence watching from behind, from inside, around, saying yes. And after that conversation, Dr. Barker wrote, there is an impelling force for good. It is God. It is in all, through all, and equally distributed in every person. And its main characteristics are intelligence and love. This month, we are focusing on clearly seeing that love, the absolute kind, for what it is, and tuning into its warmth and presence to live our lives as if we are surrounded by it, infused by it, like a fish in water. There is an everywhere present power which is always with us, whether we have known it or not. It is the creative action of life, and we are in it, and it is in us. When we think, when we choose, when we imagine, we are giving it direction, and it is saying, yes, my beloved. I'd like to begin experimenting with this idea today. We have nothing to lose. No effort is required. We just allow and accept as we will new ideas for your life to pass through your thoughts, for yourself personally, for all sentient beings here and in Australia and everywhere where there is suffering, for our neighbors, for the unsheltered, for those who are not well, for our planet. If we begin quite personally and let that love begin to radiate from us so that it can be a healing balm for the planet. I invite you to do it with me. This is how you do it. You just breathe in. And as you exhale, let your eyes close. And imagine that these words are being said silently in your own mind, or words similar to them. By contemplating love, peace, and wholeness, I create an atmosphere of love, peace, and healing in my life, for me, for my loved ones, for all beings. By contemplating love, peace, and wholeness, I am moved from within to help, to heal, to create, and to love life. By imagining a world in which loving kindness connects all beings, I become peaceful within myself, realizing peace has always lived in me. I am harmonized with life, and it harmonizes with me. I am filled with the presence of the divine. It flows through me. And today it flows in a new direction toward peace with all those around me. It flows as love, radiating from me, creating a beneficial field of loving kindness for others and for myself. The law of mind responds to these, my prayerful thoughts, establishing me as a forgiving, loving, responsible, creative, and innovative individual. My history does not limit the power of life in me. Now I know there is a good for my life that goes beyond what I have had before. So I release the limitations of the past and excitedly embrace newness and growth. This opening in my heart and mind creates a field of wholeness for me, my loved ones, and for everyone who comes into my thought atmosphere. I am tuning into spiritual truth, and I expect it to respond. I invite you now to take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, we bring this meditation to a close by saying together, and so it is. Now, wouldn't it be lovely to have all of those affirmations on a piece of paper that you could take home with you? Well, it just so happens that I have them right here. Now, be warned, there's absolutely no punctuation in this at all. I did it at 5 o'clock this morning, so be forgiving. And the only way you can get it is to come and get it from me and say hello on the way out. It's the only way. I know it's kind of manipulative, but I am not the universe. It is time for our offering, and so I invite you to get your gift in your hand, or perhaps you gave electronically, and either way, you can hold your gift in your hand or hold your open hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your center for spiritual living, which you support and which supports you. And I invite the ushers to stand, and won't you say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.